Hello, this is Galen Drake again. Brought to you by the Sonatone Corporation, pioneers in better hearing. And we've got us a few transcribed yarns and a couple ideas for you, including some dope on what makes married people fight. Now, maybe you already know, but I think maybe we have some angles that you haven't heard about yet. So we're going to get at that in just a second. But first off, I got a couple of little angles here I want to get into. You know, China is very much in the news at the present time. And somebody came up with an interesting question the other day, which I ran down. Here's the question. If the Chinese race, just the Chinese race alone, were to march by one given point, how long do you think it would take? Let's say they marched four abreast by one given point. How long do you think it would take the Chinese race of people to go by one given point if they were walking four abreast? Well, as a matter of fact, this is a trick question that you can throw at the folks. It would take forever and ever for the Chinese race to march four abreast past a given point because their descendants would be born faster than they could pass the point. There are so many of them. It would go on indefinitely, forever. It never would. You'd clear around the world. That's a tricky one, isn't it? Toss that to somebody. That's along with the same one that there's been a lot of argument about, where all the people in the world could be put in a box 1/2 mile square. You know that? If you could make a box 1/2 mile square, that's all you'd need. You could take every human being in the world and put them in that box. And push the box off the Grand Canyon and nobody knows there was anybody ever lived on the earth. That one always frightens me a little bit. I like those tricky things. They make good dinner table conversation. You know, speaking about that, I ran across some information not long ago that made me sit up and take notice a bit. A lot of people never consider the legal aspects of their romances. You know, maybe you've been reading about this Greek boy who kidnapped a gal, you know, and they're trying to figure out the legality of this thing. After reading up this information, I think a lot of people better sort of watch what they do if they don't want to be hauled into court. For instance, do you know that out in Oregon, they have a law where it is definitely unlawful for a girl to enter an automobile unless she has a chaperone with her? How about that? This law may have been taken off the books since I heard about it, but they had one. And in the same state, if daylight cannot be seen between a dancing couple, the judge takes over right then. When you're dancing with a gal, you better be able to see daylight between you, or you're saying, good morning, judge. That's all there is to that. These laws must be quite ancient, but they can still be enforced, unless they've been taken off recently. And if you ever decide to go to Massachusetts and date a girl, watch out when it comes to kissing her. Because in Massachusetts, if you kiss a girl 10 times, you are hooked, because according to the law, 10 kisses are equivalent to a proposal. And she has you, but good, if you kiss her 10 times. I don't know who stands around clocking you, but if you can get away with it and say it was only 9, you're all right. In Minnesota, they have a cutie, too. If you bring your girl candy and hug her in front of her parents, that's a proposal in Minnesota. It's so cold in Minnesota, sometimes you have to hug somebody to keep warm. Guy could get proposed all easy there, couldn't he? And in Maryland, they have an ancient law that if you just visit the gal's home 6 times, you are automatically engaged, if you visit her home 6 times. Now, in the District of Columbia, if a guy's looking for a spell in the cooler, all he has to do is marry his mother-in-law. You can't do it. That is out. You can get yourself locked up for marrying your mother-in-law. From what you hear about mother-in-laws in general, nobody is desirous of doing that, but once in a while it happens. But here's one for the books. In Michigan, any husband can legally take possession of all of his wife's clothing if she decides to leave him. There is one way to keep her home during the winter for sure. If she decides to leave, you can just take all her clothes, and it's legal. But she doesn't own them. They belong to father. He can take them. They might not look so good on him, but they still belong to him. You know, I think I told you not long ago that I made a trip down to the Sonatone office in New York. And I went in and I watched the operation down there. It was an interesting thing to me. There was a lot of young ladies there, women in the place. But the tricky thing was the fact that I couldn't tell which ones were hard of hearing, which ones weren't. I couldn't tell who was wearing a hearing aid. And that's because of the fact that the Sonatone people are the originators of this new way to hear, where nobody knows you're deaf. You know, the average gal, or man for that matter, doesn't want to wear a hearing aid because they say, well, I don't want people to know it. So the Sonatone people went out, and they went to the top, one of the top fashion authorities on Park Avenue in New York. And they said, we want to show you what we've got in this Sonatone hearing aid. And they did. And they said, we want you to send out a book. We want you to put together a book on fashion, every kind of fashion. And they did. They have a book called Fashion, and it's a beautiful thing. It's called Your Passport to Poise. Now, here are gals in this book. Well, there are a whole bunch of them. And every one of them's wearing a hearing aid, but you can't see it. For instance, they have a sonocomb. And there's the hearing part right there in the comb. And earrings and all sorts of things. For instance, over here on page five, there's a whole page here of sonocharms. There's the movable ear right out there in the form of a little charm. You'd never guess it. You could look at the thing. You could stand right up as close as you want to the person. You'd never know they were hard of hearing. And on through here, they have all kinds of some beautiful styles in here, by the way, too. Over here, the one that gets me is this bathing suit deal on page 11. His bathing suits. Gal's wearing a hearing aid. You can't see it. And all the way through, this proving that this movable ear, the new way to hear that the Sonatone people have come out with, is the answer. I want to send you this book called Fashion. It doesn't cost you anything. I want to send it to you, and if you know somebody you think ought to have it, send us their name and address, and we'll send it to them. All you have to do is just take a penny postcard and send it to me, to Galen Drake, CBS, New York. Write the one word Fashion down. That's all. And the name and address of the person to whom you want the book sent, and we'll mail it to them. Now, will you do it for me? You can be doing somebody a great favor, and if you want it, you'll be doing yourself a great favor. The word Fashion, a penny postcard to Galen Drake, CBS, New York, and the name and address of the person to whom you want it sent. Get with that, will you? It's a real thrill to read the book. Now, about this fighting routine. I read an interesting article by Clifford Adams in which he passed on some major sources of marital troubles, to which I add a few ideas of my own here and see if this adds up to what goes on around your place. You know, one thing that husbands should never do if they have youngsters, that they should never do when they come in the house and Junior starts cutting up. I mean, come out with a crack like, now what those kids need is a good thrashing. Because father usually blames mother for the fact that the kids are spoiled. He says, well, by golly, if I was home all day, they wouldn't get away with that stuff. You know, mother's fault. She spoils them. What they need is a good licking. Leave them home with father one day and see what happens. Spoils them to death. Then on the gal's part, she can always get father coming out of his corner with his dukes up by making a crack like, aren't you ever going to get a raise? That is a beauty. That is designed to make you unpopular quick. Any time a wife makes her husband feel inadequate, he wants to hit back, and there comes another beautiful quarrel, and it ends up by calling each other's relatives' names. Now, another thing that can happen, talking about mother-in-laws here a minute ago, is when father gets a little bit too much of the in-laws, and he says, when do you think your mother plans to leave, if ever? Now, even though she doesn't want her mother living there either, she's going to burn when he says that. And she's going to say, my mother can live in my house as long as she wants to. And how about that stupid brother of yours who visits us so often? And says, you know, away you go, swinging. In-laws can cause an awful lot of tension around the home, especially if the couple's just been married a short time. Then another thing that husbands can do to make things tough is to accuse their wives of extravagance. And come out with a crack like, what's the matter with you? Can't you ever say no to these salesmen? Oh, that's murder. That's bad. You send father to the grocery store to get the groceries. He comes back with $9 worth of stuff that you'll never use, you know. And the unhappy wife who accuses her husband of being stingy, she can start it too. With, of course, you'd never think of buying me a fur coat. Or you'd never think of doing this for me, of course. I don't expect anything from you. One of those things. father doesn't like to be regarded as being stingy. Now, another thing, some gals get entirely too possessive and they begin to talk to their husbands like they were little kids. Like, stay out of the living room with your dirty shoes, or don't put your feet up on that, or don't flick ashes over there, or don't do this and don't do that every minute he's in the house. That ain't gonna go over. Or the things like, why don't you keep your shoulders back like other men? Why don't you cut your hair like this? Why don't you do that? No man can find happiness and contentment in a home if he's married to a reformer. That isn't what he got married for. Now, then the husband can come back and with a crack about maybe if you didn't run around so much, the house wouldn't be in such a mess. He calls up once a month and she doesn't happen to be home. He accuses her of gallivanting all over the place and neglecting her home and so on. But mainly, he doesn't want to feel neglected himself. That's his big trouble. Now, another thing that wives can get it started on is this. When a wife says, you always make more of a fuss over other women than you do over me. That is very good. You were so nice to that charming Mrs. Brown last night. You just made a big dope out of yourself. Why don't you treat me like that? But the crowning one is when the husband says, and the gal walks into the room and says, how do I look? And the old man says, what is that hat supposed to do for you? That is, a guy's asking for it, that's all. I mean, he says a thing like that, you can't get away with it. If you don't show a little sign of appreciation there, look out. You're in trouble when you start messing with hats. You know, to be a little bit more serious about this husband and wife thing, there's an anonymous poem that was put out some time ago called Prayer of Any Husband. And it's been one of my favorites for a long, long time, and I thought maybe you might kind of like to hear it too. See if it impresses you. It says, Lord, may there be no moment in her life when she regrets that she became my wife. And keep her dear eyes just a trifle blind to my defects and to my failings kind. Help me to do the utmost that I can to prove myself her measure of a man. But if I often fail as mortals may, grant that she never sees my feet of clay. And let her make allowance now and then that we are only grown-up boys, we men. So, loving all our children, she will see sometimes a remnant of the child in me. Since years must bring to all their load of care, let us together every burden bear. And when death beckons one